And we give praises, awesome praises to God tonight for His mercies. Amen? We thank the Lord Sunday night, for blessing us. We had a tremendous blessings this morning. Tremendous blessings, and in the Word of God, tremendous blessings. And this word is getting out there. People are getting hungry for God. They're realizing you have to sit down, settle down, and build a relationship with God, and to know the love of God, which passes knowledge. You have to know that God is love. And we have been studying a long time. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And we are tape number 21, 22. This will be, that is a lot of study, and that is a volumes of study. If you put it together, 20 something hours of teaching, and I'm far from finishing. You just cannot finish these subjects that you could begin to break it down. They have so much to preach and so much to teach and preach in the Word of God. And this is not traditions. This is not going back to formalities, and I'm not that kind of a preacher teacher. I believe totally in the Word of God. And if the Word of God is not good enough, then I'm not your preacher. I'm not committed to traditions. I'm not committed to, I love preachers, but I'm not stuck with a preacher or preachers. Means that if they're not going forward, then means the work of God is at a standstill. God never stopped moving. Told Joshua, said, Moses, my servant, is dead. But it's time. God said, I will be with you. See, and as God was with Moses, as I was with Moses, you see, you have to believe that. If you believe that God stopped when someone die, you believe that if I die, then God stopped, but you're making a mistake. But the Word of God move on. But it's good to, we've heard phrases that it's good to, it's easy to see behind us, hindsight. You know, we can see behind us, but we cannot see the present and the future. And we can see what God did back there, but what is God doing right now? Right now. Is He the same yesterday, today, and forever? See, you've got to be able to see that. But if you only can see the past, and you're focused by, surrounded by certain groups of men, and think that God stops there, then you're wrong. Or a church here, or a church there, you're wrong. It's much more than that. So we need to wake up. We need to stop that and get rid of that mentality, get rid of that type of attitude. That's not the Spirit. Spirit doesn't lead us that way. The Spirit of God leads us into truth. And God, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to follow Jesus. And we found out this morning from Matthew that there is it Matthew that greater than Solomon? What chapter was that? When Matthew 12, verse? 42 says, Matthew 12 and verse 42, Jesus, was it Jesus was speaking? And he said, the queen of the south, go on down, shall arise in judgment. But Jesus go down and said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon is here. Now, we know how Solomon was a tremendous king. He was a tremendous man of God. He had a personal visitation in dreams and so from God. And he was wiser. He was wiser than anyone that was alive in his day. See, and Solomon gave us some wonderful words here in Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. And I'd like to read a few verses there about the heart of a man. In starting down into to verse 9, let me go to verse 9. The things that had been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. Verse 9. And there, notice, and there is no new thing under the sun. Said, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? Question. Is there anything? So this morning we were answering that question. Yeah. See, is there anything whereof it may be said, this is new? It had been already of old times, which was before us. Verse 11. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. The preacher was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart. Notice why I'm reading these. And I gave my heart, because we're dealing with the heart. Creating me a clean heart, a new heart. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail had God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Verse 14. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity. How many? The works that's done under the sun. How many is vanity? All. All means all. Everything. Okay? So everything, all is vanity. The works that's done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and vexation. That's why the world is in turmoil. Vexation of spirit. When your spirit is vexed, it's very sad. I have seen all the works that are done, next verse, under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Of 16. I commune with my own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate. You know, remember, we've been having a lot of lessons about the heart. So you know, by this time, you know the heart is deceitful above all things, and you cannot trust your heart. Only God can control it, all right? Now, you see, it said, I'll commune with my heart and my own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great riches. Start. Think about your money. Think about your things. Think about what you have, your retirement, how you've worked over, and what you've been able to save up, what you can leave for your children. Think of, well, I can just go and buy me an island and relax, and I can just have it. And I said, I've done a lot of things. I can drink, eat, be married, break down my barns and build bigger barns, and so whatever you want to out in there. I commune with my own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate. I've got a lot of inheritance and have gotten more wisdom. Look, I'm smart. more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Now, can you beat that? No, you cannot. There's nobody who can beat that. So Solomon is telling us what he did and the result of it. He counts it all as vanity. And he's trying to tell us that don't go that way. That's all he's saying. Do not go down that road that way. Don't trust yourself. Do not put confidence in your heart. He says that, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Now, knowledge is good, and wisdom is good. But you remember, there is a knowledge under the sun. There's a wisdom that's under the sun. And James speaks about the wisdom that cometh not down from God. There's a different wisdom. And there's a different knowledge. So here Solomon is really warning us and telling us in the next verse, he says, that, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also was vexation of spirit. See, we're dealing with the spirit, vexation of spirit, because the man under the sun has not only have a body, but he has a spirit. See, and that's what where God's working. That's where God is dealing with. Your spirit is the temple inside your spirit. Okay, God dwells there. He pours out his Holy Spirit and in your spirit. And if the body is in charge, if the senses is in charge, then you're in trouble. But it's when the spirit of the man, through the power of the Holy Ghost, is in control. So Christ came to separate, in Hebrews 4, he separates this spirit, soul, and body. See, the word, how did he do it? With the word of God, and separate us from, like Solomon said, this sore, there's a verse where he calls it a sore travail and vexation of spirit. See, all of that we're going through with all the riches and everything doesn't mean that money is wrong. Money is okay in the right way. Things are okay in the right way, but God is first. And said, for in much wisdom is much grief. Get your knowledge. Go ahead and get all the wisdom you can. But if God is not in it, there is much grief. And he that increaseth, notice, knowledge, increaseth sorrow. You increase knowledge, you get a better position, you reach the top, but oh, you can't sleep at night. The responsibility, you have sadness. And everybody think that the man at the top is always happy. No, he's got awesome responsibility that he has to deal with. He's got awesome responsibility. Is there another verse? So when you increase increase knowledge, he's not saying don't increase knowledge, but do not leave God out. And what he's saying now, don't trust your heart. But then he begins to show us a better way. The word begins to show us a better way. And then Jesus Christ came to show us the better way. See, the better way was himself. Jesus Christ brought not a kingdom onto the earth, but a kingdom from heaven. He brought the kingdom of God from heaven. Now, this morning we were in Jeremiah, we were in Ezekiel, and we would like to get back there and trying to close out here tonight in Jeremiah 32. There is another scripture that I was asking for this morning in Jeremiah 32, and go down to verse 8. And let me cover quite a few scripture here tonight so I can begin to wind this up. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way. Now we know one heart is the heart of God. See, there's a, it's not the heart in Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32, verse 38. I went there to Jeremiah. Now we're picking up a little speed here. And they shall be my people, and I will hear I will be their God. And look what he will do. And I will give them one heart. That's where God even now wants to bring us, the church. It's called the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. He's going to make the church one and be one as even as he's one with his Father. He's going to give us one heart. That's how he's not going to just join us all together, but he's give us one spirit, the right spirit, the true spirit. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me. For how long? Fear me forever. I remember now, what is the fear of the Lord? That's wisdom, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that they may fear me forever. For the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will, what will he do? I will put my fear. What is the fear of God? That reverence, fear, wisdom, that's the Holy Spirit. I will put my fear. That's the Spirit, my word. Remember he said, I will sprinkle them with clean water. Said, I will put my fear, where? In their heart, that they shall not depart from me. And the reason why many times we are so up and down, in and out, and we're not stable, is because we lack the fear of God. But once that fear of God comes in your heart, you're grounded. You're stable. You're faithful. You become faithful because you have that reverence, fear of God inside. That, and the fear of God is really the love of God in this case. He puts his love, his fear in our hearts to fear him. And we will never depart from him. You want to stay with God? Ask him to put his fear in your heart. When you pray, say, Lord, stop asking for things and ask him for the fear. Please, God, give me the fear of the Lord. Give me one heart to serve you. Not a heart for this and a divided heart, but a heart that I know that I'm going to serve the Lord until the end. See, where you're persuaded, where you're convinced, you're not going to turn back from God. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Is that amazing? When God plants you, then Zephaniah 3, I think verse 17, just turn forward now to the little book of Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. We've had this scripture. It says that the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. See, that's when God gets to where he rests in his love. He's rejoicing over us. And that's the place that God wants to bring us. Where we rest. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Yeah, if you're resting in something else, that you've accomplished a lot, and you're going to say to your soul, eat, drink, and be merry, you're going to be in trouble. But yeah, when you rest in the Lord, when you begin to put your trust into the Lord, you will be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. And then here he says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee, I love this scripture, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. What are we talking about? The love of God. The love in our hearts. We were even talking, when you've got the love one for another, when you love your brothers and your sisters, and you will give yourself for them, and you put them first before you put yourself. You're not just thinking yourself. As we were talking tonight about the Philippines and the mission field and those that are in need. And you begin to look beyond your needs and begin to reach out like that little lad that had those little loaves. And he had those little loaves. And what did he do? He gave them over and the fish to Jesus. Now here, this fly is provoking me. he's upset. The fly god is upset that I'm preaching this wonderful message. See, so when Jesus said we should have love one for another. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee. Read it. With joy. He will rest in his love. He will rejoice over thee with singing. He will joy over thee with singing. The Lord thy God will do that. Then he goes on. I will gather them that are sorrowful. For the solemn assembly. We're talking about the sorrowful spirit. See? Things doesn't make you happy. It's the word of God. It's the joy of the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I said, who are of thee to whom the reproach of it was a burden? Okay. Now, we want to get back here in the scriptures. So you have Zephaniah that tells us there how that God will rejoice over thee with singing. Now in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, and I want to move a little faster to complete this. In Hebrews 8, and I'll be reading quite a few scriptures here fast. In the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse 7. Put that up. Hebrews 8 and verse 7 says, for, now notice, we talk about new. There's no new thing. Is there a new thing under the sun? Yes. We had first the whole covenant that God made, but now he made a new covenant. See, that's new. A new covenant will I make with them. We've been dealing with them, where God will write his laws in our hearts, and he will sprinkle clean water upon us. Now, in verse 7 says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second or the new covenant. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make, shout it, a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the old covenant. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant. For what? For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. Somebody ought to shout. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now stop. See, after those days, that same verse says, the Lord will put his laws into their mind. The first part, he puts it into your mind. Now, the mind, what is the mind? Sensibility, intellect, will. See, but that's the senses. See, that's really your senses. The soul, that's where the sense is. We have body, soul, spirit. See, that's where the senses dwell in your mind. If you don't have a brain, you don't have a mind, if you can't see, hear, taste, smell, and feel, you cannot fit into this world. Do you understand that? If you can't blind, I mean, if you're blind, if you cannot speak, if you cannot hear, you, You cannot fit into this world. So God, the same thing goes. Now what God has to do now is that God has to begin to put his law in our senses, in our minds, that we will submit to the Spirit, which the Spirit is a part of wisdom and knowledge. And you begin to submit when the soul begins to submit to the Spirit. Do you understand? It's brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. And it's Spirit led. And his Spirit begin to bear witness with our spirits that we are sons of God. And then he opened our eyes. When? He, just like naturally, you have to have your eyes open. He opened our minds, our eyes, our understanding. And we begin to see the things of God. And we are led by the Holy Spirit. Now in the same, go back there. He said, and write them in their hearts. How? That's what he's doing now with the finger of God. With the Holy Spirit, he's writing the law right now in your hearts. He's communicating with his law. That's the perfect law of liberty. Because he's got to set your mind free. He's got to break you loose from the things of this world. And he's got to restore that which was lost in Adam. Why? We lost our mind. Solomon said, madness, vanity. He said, it's all is vanity and madness. And we're drunk with our own spirit. Now, Jesus Christ came to take all that poison out and to write the law of God, the laws of God, into our hearts. How did he begin to write? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. And it goes on and on there where we were going to touch that in a few weeks, where he began to write his laws in your mind. The word of God began to come into your, the perfect, it's called a perfect law of liberty, where you don't think your thoughts, but you think righteous thoughts. You've got the mind of God. You've got the ways of God inside of you. See, her senses need to be, it need to come under the control, which is our mind. Our senses, our mind, our intellect need to come under the control of the Holy Spirit, where it's not our thoughts, because the word says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. See, so he needs to put his thoughts in our senses, in our mind. So he said, I'll write them in their mind and in their heart, and I will be to them, notice, a God, worshiping in the spirit, and they shall be my people. How? When the word, the law, is written in your mind and in your spirit, then you have a God. Somebody shout. Then you know who the true God is. Amen? And the next verse says, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the greatest to the least to the greatest. You know why? Because now it's not an outside, it's an inside. See, we've got a new spirit, a right spirit, where God speaks. See, you don't get it. I can tell you something, yes, and I'm supposed to tell you something, but then you're going to have a revelation of what I'm saying, of the word of God in your spirit. See, the spirit of God, your spirit, doesn't only listen to what it's here from the outside. It's listening to God. Amen. That's why, so we need to have the right spirit. The wrong spirit will make you listen to the devil, but the right spirit makes you listen to God, to God Almighty. For I will be merciful unto the unrighteousness and their sins, shout, and iniquity. Sins and iniquity will I remember no more. I will remember them no more. Amen? In that he said a new covenant, he hath made the first one is old. All right, remember that word, old covenant. The first one is old. And said, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Not only the old covenant, but the old man goes with the old covenant. See, the outer man. See, it gets older. The outward man, it gets older and waxing older, and though the outward man perish, but yet the new man, covenant man, is renewed day by day. Amen? So it said, now that which decayed and walks it whole is ready to vanish away. Okay, is that all? Now go to quickly to chapter, same book, chapter 10 of Hebrews, chapter 10, and its deal also with the covenant. Where do we start? Verse 1. Read on quickly in verse 1. Hebrews said, for the law having a shadow of good thing to come, and not the very image of the thing, that's the old covenant, can never with those sacrifice which they offered year by year continually make the commas thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipper once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. That's bad. You can remembering every year here. But remember the Lord said in the new covenant, I will remove their sins and their iniquities, and they shall remember them no more. God will not remember them, and you will not remember them. But in those that for it is impossible, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh, here's a new thing. When he cometh into the world as a babe through the womb of a virgin, he said, Psalms 40 that we had this morning, sacrifices and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Go on. Said, a body hast thou prepared me. Read. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou shalt have no pleasure. Then said I, lo, Psalms 40, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifices and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither at pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said I, lo, I come in the, to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standing daily ministering, offering times the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. Verse 12 said, but this man, somebody shout, but who? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down, next verse, on the right hand of God, for from henceforth expecting till his enemies, next verse, be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected, forever, next verse, them that are sanctified. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. After that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write that. We just read that, number 3. We just dealt with that. Next verse says, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's the new and living way. Is there any new thing under the sun? Here it is. By we have boldness to enter into the that holy of holies by the blood of Jesus Christ. By a new and living way which he had consecrated for us. Somebody shout. which he had consecrated for us through the veil, and that is to say, his flesh, his body. Praise God. What a way. Sorry, by a new and living way. Next verse. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. There it is. With a true heart. How can you enter? How can you ascend into the heaven? You've got to have that true heart. You've got to have that new heart. By going through, we go up through the living way, through the veil of his flesh. And let us draw nigh with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke. That's what I'm doing tonight. To provoke you to love. To love. Provoke to love and to good works. Amen. Said not forsaking. There it is. Not stopping forsaking church. But not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. As the manner of some is. But exhorting one another. And so much the more. As you see the day. That's the day of the Lord. The second advent of the Lord approaching. For if we sin willfully. After that we have received the knowledge of the truth. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Is that it? There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Okay. Now, there's a verse 27. Okay, let me read it. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversary. Said, he that despiseth Moses' law, that's the whole covenant, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more? Of how much sore judgment or punishment suppose he that shall be thought worthy, who had trodden under foot the Son of God and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and an holy thing, and had done dispatch unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that had said, vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, said the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in the which, after ye were illumined, he endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly, whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst he become companion of them that are so used. For ye had compassion of me, Paul is speaking now, in the love manifested to him in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that he have in heaven a better. Notice, a better. That's something new. You have a better and enduring substance. The spirit of man will be closed. That is the better and enduring substance. Okay? Cast not away therefore your confidence, which at great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Now, patience, right? To them who by patience continue in well-doing, seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. Amen. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But no, we're not going back. We made our minds up. We've had an experience with God. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now that's powerful. We believe to the saving, and that's it, to the saving of the soul. We're dealing with body, soul, spirit. The soul, remember we taught your intellect, your senses, where the senses, the faculties, you can think with it. You can communicate and the soul, you can go either way, towards the body or towards God. See? Towards the spirit, your soul. And if the soul is in charge, you're in trouble. Because the soul tells you and dictate what to do, and you listen to it. Don't go to church tonight. Your soul just told you that. And you feel it, your emotions, and you don't do it. Not knowing that you're being led by the soul man, the Adamic nature, the first Adam, which was a living soul. But something began to convict you. It's called the spirit. And said, you know, you have a responsibility. And tonight you don't feel good, but still get up and go to church. And you obey. You know what you just did? Led by the spirit. See? But if you let the soul just keep you away from church, or keep you at the mall too long, or whatever it might be, so you didn't come up to church, you're led by the flesh, the soul man. And it's only those, as many as are led by the spirit man, the spirit, they are the sons of God. So it's the spirit that leads you away from that soulish nature. Amen? The spirit leads you from that soulish nature. So it says now, you believe to the saving of the soul. The saving of the soul would be the soul coming in submission, humbling itself, and obeying the spirit. Do you see that? It's saving your soul. But when it's the other way around, and the soul is leading you, and your body just run up to, and your spirit is dragged by, and your spirit is starving. Okay? What happened to you? You are going carnal. You're being led by the old nature. You getting it now? See? So you have to be led by the spirit. Man. See, when sometimes when people talk to you, if you're a pastor discerning, you can know. But if you tell them, they get upset with you because they have not yet been really crucified. They have not died to the flesh. The flesh is still raging. The flesh is the master. So here in the spirit, you're telling them in another dimension how to serve God. They get upset. And they leave church and they think that you're the meanest pastor. Oh, you hate them, you don't love them, and they shun you. You know why? Because inside, their soul don't want to come in submission to their spirit. But the spirit is inside of you. And that's the temple of the Lord. That's where God dwells. And that's where you worship him out of your spirit. But if you're worshiping him out of your soul, you can do anything. You can backslide, front slide, no slide, some slide. You can go anywhere. You're not. Nobody can put confidence in you because they don't know when you will operate in the soulish nature. Okay, now, that's a lot that I'll pick. I'm going to be going into all those lessons in the future. But now, it says that, but we believe to the saving of the soul. Right? Now, I need to go on because in closing, we need to find out in, there's several scriptures that I have to go through a little bit faster. In the fourth chapter is the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Go to verse 22. Ephesians chapter, and I need your help for, go down to verse 21, 22 there. Said, notice, let's read on together. But if so be that ye have learned, I've heard, okay, what verse did I say? 24, 21. Yes, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye, what? Put off the concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit. Notice the spirit of your mind. And that he put on, we're dealing with putting off the man under the sun and putting on the man above the sun. In 1 Corinthians 15, you can get it all there. The first Adam, a soul man. That you have to put off, mortal, soulish, corruptible. And put on the immortal, incorruptible Christ. The man, the first Adam was made of the earth, earthy. The second is the Lord from glory. The first was a natural. The second is a spiritual. Read all of that right there for time's sake, okay? Insert that. What you have to put off and what you have to put on. And that he put on the new man, that's Christ, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Remember, we were created. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Be angry. And it goes on. What you have to put on, or do you put it off? Be angry. Sin not. And sin not. Then and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither let give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal more. You can just read the list right there on down to the end. Bitterness in verse 31. Okay? Do you understand how you put off the whole man? All these has to be crucified. Read the list for yourself. And then the next scripture that I want is be ye therefore followers of God. What is that? Chapter 5. Okay. Let me go to Philippians 3 and then Colossians. Get me to these book here fast. Philippians 3 and verse 19. And the next one is Colossians 3, verse 9 to 7. Get those up there quickly for me. I'm trying to wind this down here. Said in Philippians, it's not there yet. Philippians, the verse, Philippians 3, what does it say? 3:19. Brethren, be, Philippians 3, verse 19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. It's not a shame when the God is their belly. Our bellies said, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. See there? Earthly things, we've dealt with that. Ecclesiastes. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change. Notice what he's going to do. Our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Who is able to submit? That's it? Next verse, next chapter is Colossians 3, verse 9 to verse 17. If he then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Above what? You got it. The sun. You're not bound by the man that's under the sun. But Christ came to set the captives free. And when he ascended and I led captivity captive, gave gift to men. So tonight we are free. If the Son of God have set you free, you are free indeed. So, if you then be risen. Remember, we died with him, crucified the old man, was nailed to the cross. And when he rose, we rose with him. So, if you then be risen with him, with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And set your affection on things above. That's your affection, your emotions that we were dealing with. Begin to set your soul, my soul thirsteth for God, your affections. Remember, you begin to set your affections, your feelings towards God now, your intellect. You have God in your mind. And when you do that, you begin to set it, you're breaking the soul away from the earthly realm. And now it's focused on the heavenly realm. And your soul begins, like Mary, my soul doeth magnify the Lord. And my spirit doeth rejoice in God my Savior. And like Anna in Samuel, how she magnified the Lord, right? And you set your soul on things above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Said, for ye are dead. Huh? What? You are dead. D-E-A-D, dead. You are dead. That's God said it. You are the word of God. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's a new thing. You, the old nature. That old man is crucified. It died when Jesus died. Romans chapter 6, I don't have time. But all of that deals with it. You're dead. You're dead to the whole man. But you live to God. For Christ, for you're dead and your life is in, verse 3, you're dead and your life is in with God in Christ. For ye are dead and your life is in with God in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify. What? Mortify. Do you know what mortification is? You're dead. Mortify. Mortify. Put to death. Mortify, therefore, your members. We go to Galatians chapter 5, and it will deal. Hold on, I'm just telling you now. You can read that later. It deals with the nature of the old man. Amen. That's the members. Those are the members. It gives you the whole 17 lists of works, okay, of the flesh. But then you go down far further, and it gives you the works of the Spirit. Now, the works of the flesh, those 17 works of the flesh, has to be mortified. But then the other, was it nine? Gift or fruit of the Spirit. That's what dwell in your human spirit. When that comes into your human spirit, that's the nature of God. And you become a perfect man. You've got to get out the first 17. You have to work on that. Everybody got something hidden in there. Because that made up the nature. Get it out. Begin to crucify that. Don't put it. Don't even try to overcome it. Just crucify it. How do you do it? Every day you get up and lay before the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost burn fire, build a fire, and it's only the Holy Ghost that can burn it up. And say, "Burn me up." He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetous. Which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which he also walked sometimes when he lived in them. But now, notice that you have to put it off. Listen, are you with me? Put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Where? Out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. The old man is the old Adam with his deeds. That's where he inherited from Satan. Okay, we who were sometimes darkness, right? But now we are light in the Lord. Remember, we were children of wrath, even as others. You put off that nature. It's a nature that you have to put off. And you put it off by mortifying it, by crucifying it. And it's the Holy Ghost that is the one that mortifies the deed of the body. The Holy Ghost and fire that burns up everything that is not of God. And I've put on the new man which is renewed. Notice what you've done now. When you put off all those, you put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, this is not a work that's done in a day. It's a church that God working through the church. All right? Where Ephesians 4, we went there? Where he gave us, we'll go to the Ephesians 4, I think, where he gave the ministry for the perfecting of the saints. How are you going to be perfect? By beginning to deal with these areas in our lives until we put off, and then we begin to put on. When Christ, who is our life, where are we? I'm getting confused here. Where are we? You put off Christ. If he then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 10.
Verse 10, Yes, and I put on, yeah, that's it. And I put on the new man, which is renewed. Notice, renewed in what?
Knowledge.
So, okay, here, let me explain it in closing. The new man is renewed in knowledge. So God says, the hour come when I will write my laws in their minds and in their spirit, their heart. So it's a renewing. What does a renewing mean? Every day. I die daily. Every day. Okay? We grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Every day I begin to know more about Jesus. Oh, that I might know him. And when you begin to know him, it's renew you. It's not one time you hear and that's it. Or one time because you say the sentence prayer and that's it. No, it's a daily dying. It's a daily renewing. It says you put off the old man, put on the new man. And it says, which after God is created in righteousness, and I'll put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. After the image of him that created him. That's Jesus. We are created in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship. Verse 12, 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bonds nor free. But Christ is all and in all. So you put off this old nature. You put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and elect. What? Oh, bowels of mercy. Notice. And kindness. You know what? The law, Proverbs 31, is it? Said the law of kindness is in their inner tongue. That's the law of liberty. You begin to put on kindness, humbleness of mind. Come on, you see that? Humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things. Come on, shout. Above all things. To get this clean heart, to get this new heart, who shall ascend into the heavens, the holy hills, the Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, the innumerable company of angels, to where the spirits of just men are made perfect unto Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. See, that's where we're going, to Mount Zion, where Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Is there any new thing under the sun? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Amen. And who can make that straight which is crooked? Jesus. We were born in sin. And we had the nature. We had the nature of the snake, crooked. That old serpent, the poison. But Jesus Christ came. And he bruised and crushed the head of the serpent and said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. See, well, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Christ came to straighten us out our life. Who can make the crooked straight? Christ, by saying, walk in the way. And he's the straight gate. Christ is the way. He makes that crooked way straight. See, he straightened out the things in our lives. What can be done under the sun that has never been done? Why, a virgin conceived and bring forth a son without knowing a man and call his name Jesus. A man, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Praise God, he's wonderful. And he's a counselor. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Amen. That's let the peace, come on. Let the peace of God rule. The peace where King Jesus sits and reigns in righteousness and in peace in your heart. Let the peace of God rule where? Rule in your heart. Just don't go around throwing things around, knocking down wife and husband, children, cats and dogs. Come on. Peace. Calm down. Calm down. Oh, be still and know. Stand still. Come on. And you're just all, whole man and woman under the sun. Calm down. You want to rise above the sun. You want to rise above that nature. You want to get out of that stuff. You don't want God to come back and find you into that fallen nature. Because if he comes, he'll be upset. But we want to be conformed and take on. We want to be transformed. Take on the nature and the image of Jesus Christ. Where he presents us faultless before the throne of God. Let us He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To the rich also, ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Praise the Lord. Said, let the word of Christ, there it is in closing, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord, in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in words or deeds, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. So who shall ascend into the heaven? Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And I tell you, when you begin to submit and yield yourself to the word of God, there you are. And beloved, you'll find yourself, we've come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God, where the spirit of just men are made perfect. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a praise. God bless you. God bless you.